In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hello and welcome to Extra Features. This is episode 102. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Bob, intern.
And we're estrogen free today for some reason.
You know what? I had to tell you, I did find out why the ladies were unavailable today.
Why is that?
Well, it turns out Karen broke her dildo.
Oh, what?
She had to buy a new purple one. And
what?
I'm serious. This was the email. I should read it to you. And so I guess she needed that to figure out what size she needed. I guess they said, well, girls go to the bathroom together, so maybe they buy dildos together. I don't know.
No, I know where Demi is. She's lost the pussy.
She lost her pussy?
No, pussy cat.
Oh, pussy. Well, that was the other
her
thing that was going on.
Her sister lost her cat, so they're trying to find it.
So her sister lost her pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's upsetting.
It
are they holding a vigil?
Is
there candles?
They've got posters up all over the neighborhood.
But no candles.
They're searching all over the place. No candles yet.
And maybe they should go for a walk and just hold candles out so people could wonder why, what's going on. Maybe that will help.
A candlelight vigil during the middle of the hot day.
That's actually what I thought you wanted for the next time I bring lunch, is candles and a tablecloth.
Well, actually, I really wanted you one in those Japanese gowns.
That's not happening.
Well, you're halfway there, so, you know, a little bit of facial reconstruction, you'll be good to go. Some geisha makeup. It'd be good. So you watched any movies, Kev? Oh, wait, I had some things, Matt. No, how was the show? I forgot. Sorry.
Oh,
okay. What have you been up to?
Well, all right, first off, let's say, this is our first on remote location episode. Right?
No, this is our new location. I love this. Right,
this is, we're recording right now in the back of the Comic Book Lounge and Gallery, which is my store at 587 A College Street.
Yeah, we're going to get we're getting an echo in here. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
It adds a little bit of ambience and stuff. It's a big empty space. I mean, not empty, but in the area where we are, it's empty.
What do we do if customers come in? You have to get up.
Well, I might have to get up. You might have to put the...
Oh, I'm not pausing anything. I'm just going to have big dead air or something?
No, you guys can just chat among yourselves, I guess.
Okay, I had a question for you, Kevin. Oh, go on about the show, and then I'll ask my question.
All right, well, Fan Expo was last weekend, and it was 4 days of craziness. You know, depending on, a lot of people had good experiences, some had great experiences, some had awful experiences, and we'd love to go on the internet and tell us all about it.
I've heard about that.
Oh, you know, yeah. It's, you know,
there was actually an article in the 24 paper.
Oh, yeah.
Our local newspaper,
yeah.
You know, that's free, so everybody gets one.
That's right. So I read the article, and they were complaining about disorganization and whatever, but I didn't think it was disorganized myself.
No, I don't think it's disorganized. I think there were a lot of people, and which meant a lot more, I hate to say the word hurting, but a lot more hurting of people than there needed to be. Because, you know, a lot of the big room events had huge lines for every one of them.
Yeah.
So those lines crisscross, and people, there's not a lot of places for people to sit down and relax. It's a huge event. I mean, it's a lot of people, and I think we've outgrown the South Building, to be honest. I think it really needs to expand.
Actually, you know what? I found out something new. You have it on two floors now. You probably did last year, but I didn't realize it was
delicious.
We've
always had it on two floors.
Well,
the 800 level is the exhibitor level,
right?
And it's also got the large rooms for talks and things like that. And then up on the 700 level is where we hold the panels and some of the gaming events.
That's the one that I never knew it was there until this year because of how to get out.
Well, you always had to exit out through the 700 level to get upstairs.
Yes, but not. There was one way we had to go out this year, and I just saw this, and I'm wow.
Sure, but it was like that last year.
I didn't see
it. The year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. Anyway, no, that's all right. People forget. They don't remember, or it doesn't occur to them, or they've got things on their mind. You know, lunch.
Yeah, I heard that. You couldn't get back in again this year, is what I was reading.
Very briefly, on the Saturday afternoon, we hit capacity. So the word went out to stop selling tickets, and the word went up to the main door that people, slow people coming in, which was, they're not supposed to do that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
A few people got help. You know, once you have your pass, you can go in and out through the south building. But if you don't have your admission, you can't get in through the south building entrances. You have to go down the ramp as you opted to buy your ticket.
Okay.
So what happened was there that rather than say, okay, we're nearing numbers and so forth and start capping the lineup for buying tickets, they let the lineup continue. So when they made the announcement that they were going to stop, someone started in the end of the ramp and walked out and said, okay, show's sold out, show's sold out, walked out, show's sold out. So people, as they went along, people started to come up the ramp. So they started at the back, so there wasn't a crush from the back.
Right.
That was on Saturday.
Yeah, that was on Saturday. It was like 3
Saturday.
O'clock. And people were like, you guys are still selling tickets. And I'm like, you know what, I was in the office when the word went out, and the call went to the was to say, tell them to start telling people to clear off the ramp because tickets are not disclosed. You know, some people were like, oh, you can still move on the show floor. But you know what? We were in capacity.
To be honest, like Sunday, I had no problem. Like once I was in, I had no problem. It was like, but everything was good. But whatever Saturday was, I don't care. But Sunday was fine. Like I got to move. I moved around. I saw what I wanted to see. Everything else. So
now this might sound like a little bit of a cop out, but none of these are my decisions. I deal with specific areas of the show. I don't run the whole event. I'm certainly, if people ask my opinion, I provide it, but they have a team that is experienced that they're supposed to know how to handle these things, and they do. So, and we have a security team that you know, advises on what to do and what not to do. So. It was a good show. Stan seemed very happy.
Yeah, Stan's always happy, is he not?
Yeah, he's making money. So.
Yeah, so why would you not be happy?
So, I don't know, that was Fan Expo in a nutshell. Something I don't want to revisit again for a while.
It's another year?
4 days of sore feet and ankles and knees and so forth.
Well, maybe you should hit the gym, but maybe you feel a little better.
Maybe.
I have a question for you. I was in the States, and I was not at Friend Expo. I apologize. I was on my yearly family vacation in somewhere.
Okay.
I was in Virginia Beach. I'll tell you where I went. That's why.
You actually booked a hotel and made plans, right?
Yeah, I was going to get into that, but I actually did have a hotel. We rented a cottage. I'd say a house. It was more a house on the beach for a week, so that's where I was. That's where we're all drinking Cherry Coke today because I brought it back with us. And yeah, it was good, but I did see an article in USA Today talking about the end of Blu-ray. And say it's only got another three.
Really?
Yeah, and I forgot to bring it in. I'm really sorry.
Oh,
and I'll bring it to you next time we meet or the time after. And it discussed the new format. Like
what's that?
T-something. I wanted to know if you knew anything about it. I guess I'll bring the article next time I see you.
All right, I'm looking
forward to it. But I felt bad. I'm like, Kevin never told me anything about this. And usually you're up to date with the new format.
Yeah, I've been a little out of it. But yeah, I don't know. I think digital is now the new part. The new
format. That's what they were talking about, the next format after Blu-ray.
So why would you go and buy a physical disc when you now have digital on demand?
Well, that's what they were going into. They were going into those topics, and I wanted to know what you guys thought of that. Are we eventually going to see the end of DVD in our lifetime, like an actual disc, and we're only going to be able to get our stuff digital?
Well,
or is that what we want?
No, I don't think so, because they're still around. Like even something like, oh, I don't know, VHS is still around. I still see it.
But they're a quarter. Like, I see those piled. Nobody's buying those. Like, I go to Goodwill or garage sales. There's please take pile, pretty much, and nobody touches them. Like, and I think DVDs, because, I mean, now we're starting to see DVDs at $5 everywhere.
Yes.
Like, Walmart just has bins of this stuff.
Okay.
And we're not seeing. And I'm seeing Blu-rays now for, I think, $5, Kevin. I think I've seen them as cheap as. I could be wrong. A couple of titles. Am I right there?
Some are very cheap. They're $8 in Walmart.
I guess my question is, in this article, I mean, some stuff we're never going to see that got released. Like, I'm just thinking of a weird title like Garbage Pail Kids. Did come out on VHS. Because that format lasted a long time.
Right.
DVD and Blu-ray, like, bam, bam. Like, are we ever going to see copies of Garbage Pail Kids or some of those bad
there's
movies?
Probably things on VHS and DVD that we'll never see on the new format.
So I guess my question is, do we still need a physical format then?
I do.
Nowadays.
It is interesting that you mention that because, I mean, even though Blu-ray's been around with us for nearly a decade.
Yeah, I know.
There are still hundreds of films that have not actually made the transition to Blu-ray.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. We're not...
Haven't done high definition.
Are we going to see it?
Well, I mean, it's in their best interest to do high definition transition. censors of these films for posterity.
But Garbage Pail Kids, does anybody care?
Well, I certainly
know. But you know me. I'm the guy that looks for it. Like, I'm right now watching Breakin'. I just finished Breakin' 1. I got Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo to watch.
Electric Boogaloo.
And then I found there's a Breakin' 3. Well, I checked normal means, couldn't find a copy. Checked other means, could not find a copy. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it ever had a DVD release. Like, I haven't seen a set of all three movies. So if it's out there, I can't find it.
Yeah.
And we know me. I can find something if it exists.
Yeah.
No, no, no sign of it. So I'm just wondering, are we not going to see some films ever? Like, we're already going to see the new releases, obviously. But, I mean, my argument is I have portable DVD players for my children in the back seat.
Right.
And if they stop making DVDs, that means I have to buy new portable Blu-ray players for them? I don't want to do that.
No, I think the one in your car is DVD.
Yeah, I have portable DVDs, so you can take them out of the car, in the car. Because we go to hotel rooms and things.
Right.
Sometimes the hotel TV doesn't have a treehouse or
right.
something they want to watch. And well, when they get up in the morning, to keep them quiet, not wake up the other one, I have to watch DVDs.
I'm going to tell you, your portable DVD player will eventually be
iPads. It's going to be. I know that for sure.
Yeah. So you're going to have a depot in your house where you're probably on your main hard drive or one of your laptops.
Yeah.
Or on a storage device where you're going to store
like an iCloud?
A number of films.
Right.
And then the kids will be able to go in through their iPad to decide which films they want to take with them or
yeah.
go. So, or you will upload them for them.
That's probably going to happen.
And as they get older, they'll do it themselves. But,
yes.
you know, this is the future, is that you will have a tablet, they will all have tablet devices rather than, like the portable DVD player, bad technology. Don't invest in it.
Well, it was $50.
It's $50.
That's yeah. what I said. So I wasn't upset.
It's not the future. So, sorry, Bob, you were going to say?
Well, I know this is like extra featured movies, but like when you were saying about stuff on coming out on DVD or Blu-ray, I was just thinking of like TV shows that I'm waiting for, like Happy Days. There's only until season 4 that I've
really? They haven't finished that yet.
They haven't done that. They haven't done Home Improvement. I've only seen like very few, Smallville, like all 10 seasons are on.
But that's current, though.
That's current. But older shows, I've only seen up till part of the season, like part of like one season. So what I have for Home Improvement, I still have on VHS or I've taped it. So
we can ask Kevin a question. Are all comics pretty much on graphic novel available now?
No, there's still thousands of comics that I've never been reading.
Are they ever going to be? I mean, I understand.
Yes, the rate they're going. It's in Marvel and DC Comics' best interest to digitize their entire
I agree.
Back catalog. So that's why you're seeing a predominance of essentials and showcases and graphic novels.
Do they sell though? I guess that's a big question.
I think no. I think what's happening is that there is an audience that will buy them. And there's an audience that will buy them at a certain price.
Right.
So I have regular customers who will say, I want that. Even myself. I will say, yes, I want John Byrne's run on Spider-Man and trade paperback. So, and JRJR and all that. So, I'll buy that. But most people don't care. Right? I would say maybe out of 50 customers, maybe 3 or 4 might care.
So, am I a weird customer? Because I came in the store today and I'm looking at your Jeff Smith thing. Oh, the price is reasonable to me.
No, but yeah, what's happened is there was a summer sale. And DC and Marvel put out a lot of trade paperbacks at a really good price for.
Oh, that's like less than 50%. Like I'm looking at
it. It's a $30 hardcover. So
yeah, for $36 hard, you got it at $15.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, wow, that's a good price. It's cheaper than you buy the issues when they came out.
I have 4 left. I had 25.
So yeah, so I should pick it up today. I guess is what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
it'll go by Montreal. But
you'll be down to 3, I think, because I think I'm going to buy it today.
What happens is people walk in and they go, you know what? I like that price point. I'll pay for that at that price point.
Well, that's what I'm arguing. What's our digital price point going to be for a movie? Like, I mean, obviously you'll pay $4 for Expendables, right?
Mm-hmm.
50 cents for Garbage Pail Kids or Breaking or $1?
Maybe 99 cents on iTunes or something.
Like that's what I'm wondering. Because, I mean, when I go to rent something on my Bell, because I have Bell Express, I mean, everybody has their own, it goes like some of the prices are $6.99. I'm like, I can go to the Video Box for $1. Like, am I that lazy? So, I mean, I have to go shopping. I might as well pick up the DVD while I'm there.
Actually, do you watch it on DVD or video?
DVD. Like, I can go, but if I rent it from Bell, it's streaming to my TV, like my Netflix is.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, you know, what's the way to go here?
Well, I'm still going, like, because I've lost Blockbuster and Rogers no longer do DVDs, Blockbuster's gone, but I found, like, at the Metro stores, supermarket, Zip.ca, they have a kiosk. And then I found out, well, at first I was renting them they had a code and got it free. But then I read the box, and it says dollar. And I'm going, oh, dollar a day? That's even cheaper than it was at Blockbuster.
Well, they have 2-for-1 Tuesdays. You know that, right? If you're friends with them on Facebook, which I am, because I used to use them, and they give you 2-for-1 Tuesdays.
You never knew that.
Well, just become friends with them on Facebook, join their group, and they'll send you an email with a promo code,
yeah.
And you get 2-for-1 on Tuesdays.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be $1 for 2 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Since we're here to discuss movies, I guess we should finally move on.
Here for.
So, Kev, I heard you saw this film in the theater lately, before it got released, before I did.
I got a pass to go see the Toronto premiere of The Expendables 2.
Right? Anybody show up?
Yes, actually, Randy Couture and Terry Crews were there.
I can't think of anything he did other than Takers? Takers, I think he was in.
Oh, I don't know. He's done a few things. Terry Crews?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
In the Q&A, he actually started talking about his first film, which was The Sixth Day. Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh, my God. I saw that years ago.
Yeah. He's a former NFL guy.
That's where I know him from. Maybe that's why he rings a bell. So, would you like to say directed by Simon West?
I did. It stars Sylvester Stallone, Liam Hemsworth, Randy Couture, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme as the villain, Terry Crews, and Charisma Carpenter. It was a fun time at the premiere. I really enjoyed the film.
Really?
I did not like The Expendables 1.
I hated it.
But
it was awful.
I really liked Expendables 2.
I thought it was a better story than Expendables. I thought it was a better premise. I thought Expendables 1 was just lots of random explosions.
Yeah,
well, that's what I saw in the first 20 minutes of Expendables 2.
Well, you did. That's all you need to see. I mean, Expendables 2 is just a continuation of that. I thought they tried a little harder to tell a more complete story in Expendables 2. Did I enjoy it? No, not in any way. I had a lot of problems with Chuck Norris just magically showing up.
I
just thought
that was the silliness of it.
And that's my problem. I couldn't distance myself from the horrible acting. The problem with this, when you get so many bad actors from the 80s in one movie, and especially those bad Arnold Schwarzenegger lines, I'll be back. No, you've already been back, says Bruce Willis. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And that's actually what I enjoyed. I was going to bring that up because they switched more lines. Because Arnold said, yippee-ki-yay, and he says, you've already been back. I'll be back.
I was groaning. I found this disappointing. I wanted this movie in 1980. I don't think I want it now. Like, especially when Chuck Norris shows up at the end, I thought you were the lone wolf. Oh, I guess you can change. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who writes this crap?
Yeah.
It was like a bad G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s. That's what just reminded me of.
It was kind of like that, but you know what? In the theater, it was fun. It was just it was just one-liners and over-the-top action, and it was like A-Team except bloody.
It's G.I. Joe.
Actually, that's right.
It's G.I. Joe versus Cobra.
And I got to tell you, the violence in this movie was ridiculously accurate. Like, literally, guns are being fired and fingers are blowing off and pieces of body parts are flying.
I saw that. No.
Heads are exploding. I'm like, wow, I don't know if I needed to see that.
But I think they need to go over the top of this film. If they treat it like a normal, if they played it straight, it wouldn't work. Is what I'm trying to say. I think they need to play with it a lot more.
Actually,
need to make it campy.
Shot up is like if you take guns and shoot someone about 6 times, the body parts will sort of go ping.
Oh, I just thought it was a bad movie because everywhere they go, they're like waiting for guns and people are fighting. Like, you're telling me when they get pinned down and before Chuck Norris shows up, those guys are going to live. I mean, these guys get pinned down more than a fat guy at a buffet who's taking the last chicken ball. What are you doing? You've already taken the rest. Like, every time they're waiting for guns. Waiting for the next co-star to show up, you know, the next spotlight.
Yeah.
And it was just driving me nuts. I'm like, oh, there's Chuck Norris. There's Christina Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
oh, we were waiting for you. I'm like, oh, really? And at the end of the film, of course, they send her the money, the widows of the money she needs.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis gets in the fray at the end. I'm like, oh, God, painful.
Yeah. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I loved it.
What?
Welcome to Movie Pole.
Well, actually, I didn't like it all that much. It was okay. Like, I enjoyed the switching of the lines. But as you said, the over-the-top violence, I was watching it. I'm going, I don't really need to see this. Although I have. But I give it a half, like a 5 out of 10 if I was to...
You are such a generous man, sir.
Yeah, but I don't hate everything like certain other people.
Kevin will give it a 7.
I would go as far as to say it was an 8.
There you go.
An 8?
Yeah.
Did you just get some too much? Maybe you were smoking that pussy. Maybe that was your problem. The big fat black boy. Were you sitting down like Ted with the big fat fluffy bear having the big joint? What?
No,
an 8?
I didn't see that movie either.
Oh my God.
I guys need to get out for it. I thought it was entertaining.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't even talk about it. But I would like to discuss a film you did point out with me.
Which is The Black Death?
Yeah, starring...
Directed by Christopher Smith, starring Sean Bean, Carice Van Houten, Eddie Redmayne, David Warner, Kimberly Nixon, and Daniel Steiner. Now, I kind of have to remember this. Right? The plague is ravaging Europe.
Correct.
Okay? And there's a town that's immune to the plague. Is that correct?
Somewhat, yeah.
Sean Bean and his holy crusaders are sent to figure out why.
Yes.
And it must be witchcraft or something.
Yes.
So, and then fun and seas.
I got to admit, I watched this film, and I want to tell you, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was something, and I kept thinking, where's Conan? Why isn't this a Conan script?
All the
way. Why? Like, this would have been a perfect script for Conan. The whole movie, I'm thinking, going, Sean Bean's Conan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I enjoyed it, but I like, who's the guy that has Eddie Redmayne? He's the guy, the priest?
Yeah, I guess so.
And he has that twist at the end when he discovers, you know, that God isn't really on his side, and he has to crucify all witches
because
they killed his beloved.
Oh yeah, the kid, the innocent.
Right? I love that twist. I heard he became. This movie to me should have had a theatrical release and given a $50,000 more or $100,000 more. I would have loved it.
I think it would have been a tough sell in the movie theaters.
I think if they spruced it up, though, it would have been better. If they did it a little bit longer, a little more blood, it would have been perfect. It was pretty bloody, though.
Yeah.
When they're rocking Sean Bean and his arms come off, I'm like, what the fuck was that? I love this movie. I have to give this a strong recommend.
Really? I liked it, but I didn't love it.
I did love it.
Sean Bean, of course, is always good.
I just, because it was something so different. It told the complete story. It's a little slow at times, sure it is, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. I really, really like this film.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a strong recommend. Like, if you like Conan movies, you should watch this.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess so.
I think they got caught a little too easily, you know, when they got caught with the alcohol and they all passed out. I'm like, they should have saw that coming.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I could tell they didn't have enough money to do, like, a big fight scene because all the fight scenes are really quick. I like when they put the head of the town in the Iron Maiden
and
carved him off. I go, that's a pretty... You don't see that. Like, I did not see that coming. But when they got to the town, I go, something's up. Like, we're getting... You know, nothing's really happening in this film. It's moving along, you know, but nothing really great. But
yeah.
It kept me occupied the whole time, interested. Which a lot... You know me. A lot of films do not keep me interested. And I get bored. But no, I want to thank you for this one.
All right. Well, I'm glad... I was able to enlighten you in the age of the darkness.
Well, now we're hitting the intern's favorite time period of movies, I think. There's a movie that's got dancing in it, and singing, and
dancing,
women.
Oh, dancing, look at him run.
Like,
I didn't see this one, so it's just talking to you guys.
Bob, I'm going to let you read it all. Go ahead.
All right. Here's a Bob movie if you ever heard about it.
You know, this should say Bob of Ages here.
It should. I didn't write the director down. Rock of Ages, directed by somebody. starring the cast of many: Julianne Hough, Diego Boneta, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Alec Baldwin, Tom Cruise, Russell Brand, Paul Giamatti, Eli Roth, Mary J. Blige, Brian Cranston, Kevin Nash, Malin Ackerman, Will Fort, Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson was in this?
Debbie Gibson was in it.
Who did she play in this? At the end?
She was...
The big medley at the end?
Probably. I don't remember.
I didn't notice her. I mean, usually you recognize her big nose on most things.
Well, I didn't recognize her first either, but then when I was going over IMDb, I was looking and going, oh, that's who that was. Like, she was a rocker of some kind. But I started watching this. Like, I never saw the play when it was here in town.
Neither did I.
I know someone that saw it 40 times.
So do I.
Yeah, we know the same person. But when I, like, she said, you gotta see this, it's really good. I'm going, I never got a chance. But when I heard the movie was coming here, I thought, okay, I'm gonna see it. It was all the music, like, from the 80s, 70s, whatever, I'm going. And I got down, I wasn't expecting much, but when I started watching, I'm going, from the very first song, you could imagine, we didn't see it together.
I can't fight this feeling.
As soon as I heard the first song, my foot was going, tapping along, and I'm going, I'm enjoying this.
You should have seen me. I'm watching this going, bob, 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 bob. And I could just see Kevin. If I'm watching with Kevin going, wonder what's going on Twitter right now. Maybe I need to do some Facebook updates.
I did not hear good things about this movie.
It's awful.
Well, I know who
it's horrible.
It's not that bad.
Okay. I know you love it.
Great, but
okay, here's the problems with this movie.
Okay.
They got actors doing singing parts.
But they're not that bad. Actually, I've heard... No, if you look at Tom Cruise, you don't think of him as a singer.
Not an issue with Tom Cruise.
If you look
He's
at...
He's playing a bad 80s rocker.
Alec Baldwin
person.
And Russell Brand. Alec Baldwin is not as bad as Pierce Brosnan singing.
S.O.S.?
Right.
No. Okay.
Alec Baldwin is pretty good. Catherine Zeta-Jones, however, she's really good.
Yes, but she can't act. She can sing, but can't act. Okay, let's set the scene. Cap, we're working together for years. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what's the Wham song they sing, Bob? It's a Wham song they sing. Yeah. Okay. Doesn't matter. Well, I expressed my love for you because I'm gay. And I'm Russell Brand. So think about Russell Brand's accent singing Wham song, and Alec Baldwin's doing a duet. That is the worst pile of shit I've ever seen.
Alec Baldwin with Russell Brand on a Wham song.
On a Wham song about gay love.
Russell Brand is really expressing his gay love.
And Alec Baldwin feels the same way.
Oh, yes. Alec Baldwin feels the same way. I think I'd shoot myself.
I'm sitting there.
I was watching this and I'm going, I'm embarrassed, but it's a good... Like, I like...
They can't sing.
They can sing better than Pierce Brosnan.
If they sing as well as I do, and I can't sing, I will tell you 100% I can't sing. And that's the problem with this movie. You'll go from somebody like Julianne Hough that doesn't have a strong voice.
She was good.
But can sing a little bit.
And her duet with Diego Boneta.
Diego Boneta has some issues too.
Well, he was okay. But
he's okay. That's the problem. When I'm looking at the lead here, Julianne Hough can sing. You need somebody that can help her with her harmonies and stuff. Because she's very quiet. She's not a strong singer. Because you see at the end when Mary J. Blige shows up, and she is booming Journey. Like, you're going, and she is blasting. And I'm hearing, Julianne Hough singing about this loud. I'm like, you're destroying Journey. And then Russell Brand and Alec Baldwin start singing Journey. I'm like, guys, shut the fuck up. Please don't ever think you're allowed to sing in a movie again. It was painful.
You know what? When this comes out on video, I'll be buying it.
Of course you will. You might have your picture on the box.
For Bob's eyes only.
Oh, and well, I have so many. And you're sitting there, and Melon Ackerman, I mean, beautiful woman.
Yes.
But stop singing. Again, the problem with this movie is they didn't cast singers. They cast people, they wanted to have names, and it was like animated movies. It's the same option to me. They took all the people. Oh, Russell Brand, he's cheap, we'll get him. Al Baldwin, do gay wet, we'll get him. Oh, Debbie Gibson, she can sing a bit 20 years ago, we'll get her. And they took Tom Cruise, was the only guy. Tom Cruise was decent because he's an 80s rocker. You never had to sing in the 80s. It's
actually,
just all glam rock.
How was Tom Cruise as a singer? I hear he's actually all right.
He's not bad at the game. He's singing like glam rock.
Yeah. Okay.
So you don't have the skill, skinny, bop, bop, doo, doo, ball, van,
watch the movie.
I can't. You can sing that, Kevin. I mean, there's nothing to it. There's no high notes. There's no low notes. Look at, okay, compare this. There's my still going back there. Did anybody sing better than Mary J. Blige? Could you tell when an actual singer was singing this movie? Absolutely.
Yes.
That was my problem. The bad singers were so bad, I couldn't get into it.
I could. Catherine Zeta-Jones, like, you say she can't act, but
she can sing.
She's a good singer, too.
Yes, but the problem is,
she's done it before.
Have her sing with, like, Melon Ackerman or somebody who's just so bad, it ruins the song.
Hmm.
Even though what you're singing along with the songs, because you know them, but you're like, God, you suck.
I almost did sing along with it. I was going.
Well, I was
in the theater looking. I'm going because the theater's 3/4 full. I don't know about. No.
I mean, but I'm getting to the point with the Journey. Like, I'm a huge Journey fan, but I never hear this. Glee killed that song for me. You know, I guess Rock of Ages is a big disappointment to me because I was actually looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So. No, I give it a thumbs up.
I would watch it again.
Okay, here's a movie we struck from our list, but since it's been on here for 2 years, I'm just going to do this quickly.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to watch The Fourth Kind but me, and I did when it came out, so. Wow, man. That streetcar is loud. It's directed by some guy's name I can't pronounce. Will Patton, Mila Jovovich, Eli Kotes. I wish you guys watched this film. I want to get Kevin's perspective on this, because Kevin sees stuff in films like this,
really?
But it looked like a really bad documentary to me. Like, it's just...
That's why I didn't...
Yeah, I know you didn't watch, but it's just boring. Like, I feel bad for Mila Jovovich. This is why I really wanted to do this, to have more discussion.
You feel bad for Mila Jovovich?
I think she should be a bigger star than she
is. The queen of bad action.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I don't think she's a bad actress. But she keeps picking shitty movies to do.
These shitty action, sci-fi, horror movies.
And I feel bad. The same with this one. I mean, nothing happened.
Actually,
thought
the best thing that she did recently was Perfect Getaway.
I like that.
Was that the one on the island? Or
yes.
Yeah, I like that. I bought it.
But my argument here, I'm watching it. I watched Fourth Kind just for Mila Jovovich. And I'm like, fuck these. Suck Mila. Really? I love her Resident Evil movies.
What
because of
watched
Resident
the trailer
Evil.
For Resident Evil... Something.
Five.
Four.
And it's going to suck balls, too.
Actually, look kind of interesting.
But I love those films. But I'm a big fan of the games. But I'm looking at me like, going, can't you just do something? Like, better? Because I think you're a better actress. If Julianne Hough could have a career in an A-list celebrity because she's dating Ryan Seacrest, so she.
I know. She was really good in Fifth Element.
Well, that's what I mean. I thought that was her jumping point. And... shit happens, I guess. Oh,
I guess so.
Did Bob make the list, Kevin?
I think so. Yeah.
Because I mean, it's another singing and dancing movie.
No. The next movie is actually we're inserting.
Yes, much better.
It's, Jane Eyre, directed by Cary Fukunaga, stars Mia Wasikowska.
Fukunaga. Sounds like one of those waters I buy at the corner store.
Fukunaga. Michael Fassbender, Jamie Bell. So, a Fassbender movie.
Yeah, this movie fucking doesn't live up to Fassbender. It's more like fucking slow.
Slow Bender.
Does this movie ever hit the bender? Like, fuck, I couldn't stay awake during this.
It was
so
long
much
and
pain.
Quiet. I kind of liked it, but I didn't love it. I thought it was very well photographed, and it's pretty much a solid adaptation of the book.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
A BBC...
Well, that's
television.
What it looked like. Shouldn't it be on the BBC television? Why are we watching it? I guess that's my question.
Well, I guess they felt it was good enough that they could do a theatrical release.
I say I don't think it was.
You know, I'd say it's a 6 or a 7 out of 10. It's okay.
See, I gave it like a 4.
If you like this kind of movie,
you'll love it.
You would probably think this was good.
I see, I'm looking for one of these. I mean, I'm not really familiar with a lot of Jane Austen. And if I'm looking for something like, are all the movies like this? Remind me a lot of Albert Nobbs. I had the same problem. I just get bored of this time period.
Well, I mean, it's was a shitty time to live. I would not want to live.
Yeah, it sucks. They don't have internet.
Like,
they don't have this. They wear corsets because they're sweating all the time.
Jane is born to a certain class.
Yeah.
And
spank it out.
And she catches the eye of the boss.
I'll tell you, she does. When I was growing up, I had that. I was fine.
Listen, buddy, you want to go back to a photo of you circling around the internet, you riding a bike in a suit? Would you like to discuss that now?
No, but that was not a suit.
What was it?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
You're in a suit.
It was a jacket.
Okay. Let me back up.
Rochester is a dark, brooding Victorian hero.
He is.
He's got issues. And he has a secret, which isn't the most terrible secret when it comes down to it.
What, well, man?
Do you remember his secret?
No, I'm trying to think of it. It's been a couple of years since I've seen this.
He went to Virginia, and he had a wife.
Yes, yeah, I knew that. He was married.
And the wife is still alive.
Yes,
and
yes.
Kept him in the tower.
Yes, I remember that.
Off or whatever. She's crazy.
Yes, I remember that. Sorry.
He's fallen in love with
Mia. Yeah.
With, what's her name? With Jane.
Yes.
So, you know, she's trying to figure out what it is, but she doesn't seem all that upset when she finds out.
I think she just wants out of what she's doing. I think she wants something better.
She doesn't
want
to be a governess, but she's quite fond of the kid. The kid was interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been a while. I'm letting you read on this one. It's been too long. But no, I just had problems with this film. I get bored. See, maybe I get bored too easily, or maybe I just don't like period pieces. I've stated that numerous times, and I do try to watch them, hoping one, I'm like, okay, I get it finally, why people like these. Like, if Karen was here, she'll tell me this is the greatest film she's ever seen.
She probably would,
was perfect.
Yeah.
She loved the book, yada, yada. But she's buying Purple Dildo, so she won't be able to talk about it.
Oh.
What? I can't stop it. That's your fetish with dildos. What do you want me not to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think she's buying dildos. No.
Well, why don't you call her?
I think she has a migraine headache.
Have you talked to her?
No, I
haven't. Then how would you know?
Actually, she does. I heard, yes.
From who?
Actually, you.
Oh, it must have been a mistake. Mine says dildos on my sex.
I think your HD SD is kicking in again.
So, Kev, would you recommend this film, then?
Oh, yeah, if you like this kind of period drama, you'll like this film.
Okay.
The acting is solid. It's not, nothing will overwhelm you with its greatness, but it's just very well done.
Okay.
All right, so let's cut loose.
Cut loose. Everybody cut loose. Cut loose.
So they remade Footloose last year.
They did.
Directed by Craig Brewer and starring Julianne Hough, Dennis Quaid.
Is it Hough?
Miles Teller, Amy McDowell, Patrick John Pfluger.
Yeah, I did a Pfluger, dude.
Zia Colin. Ah, that's a terrible name. My name is Colin.
Colin. Would you like to touch my Colin?
Jones. So, Footloose. Let's go to the expert. What do you think, Bob?
Okay, they should not have remade it. They did word for word, song by song, except they updated, whereas like when he gets caught by the police, it's no longer, he wasn't listening to Quiet Riot, he was listening to whatever song it was, and I can't remember. But
we're not going to take it.
Everything was the same. I thought, if you're going to remake it, change the bit. Just a little. But they remade the exact same movie. Like, me, okay, you know me. I enjoy musicals. But I enjoy good musicals. No comments, Mr. Simon.
I have many comments.
I know you do. You're letting me talk. Now, this one, the original Footloose, which we'll get to, was I thought, really good. This one, it's a rehash of the same thing. So I thought, okay, it's okay. Julianne Hough is okay. It's doing the dancing. Kenny Wolmed is the same. Does the exact same moves that going through the flips and whatever. And I'm going, I'm bored. This is the first time.
Did you just say you're bored?
I know. It's
Kevin, let's get a torch run going.
Hang on.
Let's join the Kendall visual. Bob's bored of a musical.
But because it was this, I was bored because it was insane.
There's no difference. There's no difference between this and the first one.
A bit, like when he gets caught by the police, that's the only difference. But other than that, where was it? Dennis Quaid's character is the exact same as John Lithgow. Andy McDowell, a little bit different than Diane Weeks. But it, I just found it like painful.
Okay,
I still liked it, but it was a little painful to watch the same movie.
Well, see, the weird thing was I watched Footloose 1 and Footloose 2 back together.
Well, that was a mistake.
I'm like, did I just watch this film? And I had to check to make. I'm like, what's Julianne Hough? I just watched this film. It's exactly the same film as the first one. There's no point in watching it. It's a piece of junk. Just skip it. If you like Footloose, stick with the first one.
Right.
Because it's got better songs.
The first one is a classic.
Yeah.
And it's got better songs.
And a lot of the same songs are in this movie, too.
Yeah, but they take some out. Like, I miss Denise. Let's hear it for the boys.
Well, that was in there still.
But not sung by her.
No, the kids are singing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want her. Like, I
She was in the background. You could hear it a bit.
Oh, really?
A bit.
Not
the
enough.
The kids overlapped it.
And I miss Chris Penn. I love Chris Penn. And I missed him in this. And I was like,
The guy that replaced Chris Penn, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
No.
Okay.
All right. You have any last comments on it?
Nope.
That's crap.
I liked it. I know this is coming out of left field, because you guys have decided that it's crap.
No. I didn't say it was crap.
I watched it on Netflix, and I was prepared to hate it. And I was like, shit, you know what? This is okay. I don't mind it. The lead guy is okay. Dennis Quaid is okay. There's not... Lithgow had Fire and Brimstone. What?
Nothing. Keep going.
What are you looking at? Oh, well, why didn't you... All right. Anyway, Lithgow had a lot of Fire and Brimstone behind his performance
in the first one. Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. I just know Kevin's mic was off.
We tested
off.
It. You said
it did. It was coming up, and then you must have turned it off. Now it's fine.
So, I found Dennis Quaid was much more torn. He was more of a... He made a decision, as Lithgow did, based on the loss of a child. But I found him to be... I think he gave a better performance.
Than Lithgow? I agree with you. I think
they actually showed more of that accident, the loss of the child. So, yeah.
I agree with you. I think that they did a better job with Lithgow.
And I think that one of the things that came up, too, was... It's 2011. Can a Footloose type scenario where music is banned in an area really work? I mean,
yes.
You can't. It doesn't work in this situation. All they could do is prevent there from being public playing of music and dances. That's all they could cut out. And even then, they allowed for supervised dancing under certain situations.
They did.
At the churches. So in the other one, the original, it was like no music, it was illegal, no dancing, no whatever. Here it's like, listen, if you're dancing in your own private, they can't do anything about it. If the kids are singing on their karaoke machine in the backyard, they're not going to do anything about it.
No.
It just seemed more realistic to me. It seemed more... You know, you can't contain that outside influence. You can only say, as a town, we can't do certain things. And to me, it was sort of like, well, why even fight it? So, but anyway, but...
I didn't say all three, but
I didn't, as again, I didn't
wow. Kevin likes at least.
So let's go into the vault.
Squeak!
What?
I like the original. What was the original vault noise? I
turned
that
more. Yeah, so did I.
Oh, look. What's waiting for us?
It's Karen.
The first food. Oh, Karen.
No, sorry.
Karen's gone.
Sorry, it's not
the
her.
First food news. Directed by Herbert Ross with Kevin Bacon, Chris Penn, Sarah Jessica Parker, John Lithgow, Diane Weiss, Laurie Singer is in it. Elizabeth Mercy, Francis Lee McCain, Jim Youngs, and Lynn Marta. So, like... Having watched the new one and then the first one, does the first one stand up?
Yes,
100%.
I'm still, after all these years, I'm still tapping my foot to it, I'll tell you that. Because I was watching it again, like, not back to back, but I was watching the first Footloose, and I'm going, tap, 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 tap. This is, and I'm going, okay, I remember this. 2011 Footloose, I'm going, foot tapping, not so much. It's still there, but I'd probably still buy it. I don't know, maybe. But the original Footloose, you can't. Well, Simon probably could, but I didn't. I loved it. I was going to say you can't find fault with it, but I know.
Actually, no, I won't find fault for it. I think it's fine. Tells the story. I love the music. See, I'm a big Footloose. I like Laurie Singer a lot, and I love Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
And I think that was one of my issues, again, is with these projects for Julianne Hough. She can't act. Stop giving her roles. It's like Marion Agnew. They're beautiful women. Can't act. Put them in supporting roles. Stop putting them in starring roles. And Kevin Bacon is a star. He's not there yet, Christopher Penn's an excellent supporting actor. Sarah Jessica Parker isn't Sarah Jessica Parker yet, so she's actually not painful to look at.
Yeah.
John Lithgow's okay. He's probably the weak link. And Diane Weiss has always got that melting little face thing going.
Wasn't this before Third Rock from the Sun?
It was.
Okay.
But John Lithgow, I think, is best when he plays it crazy. But there's nothing wrong with this film. It's a fun film.
Yes.
And I like it because there's things that Kevin Bacon does that make sense to me. And the new one, it doesn't make sense, even though it's, you know what I mean? Kevin Bacon, you can believe he wants to do this.
Yeah.
And wants to learn how to dance. And wants to dance and listen to music. He wants to do all these things. Which I don't believe in the new one. Who's the movie? Kenny Wormack?
Kenny Wormack.
He doesn't believe he wants to go against society. He's like going through the motions. Same with Julianne Hough. In this one, I believe Laurie Singer really wants Kevin Bacon to do it. You know what I mean? That's what I get from this film. And I love the music. And that works for me. So yeah, I could put this, definitely recommend.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
Anything else, Paul? Well, okay.
Love it,
right.
That's all.
Do you want to, okay, again, we have another one on the list, but I was supposed to discuss with Karen, so I'm going to just go through these quickly because they've been here. Did you hear about The Morgans, directed by Mark Lawrence, starred Hugh Grant, Sarah Jessica Parker, Sam Elliott, Ellen Moth, Mary Steenburgen, and Natalie Cooper? This movie is awful. I think anybody out there, do not rent this movie. Do not pick it up for a dollar. Sarah Jessica Parker is now probably my top two worst actresses of all times. She has never made a good movie. Sex in the City, she's unattractive, and I wouldn't do her if you paid me. So I'm done with her. Stop putting in movies. And Sam Elliott, are you here for the paycheck with Hugh Grant? Because Hugh Grant could act. I know he can act. But this is a big flaming pile of crap. Please skip it. That's it. That's all I've said about the Morgans.
Yeah, and I've had it on the list for a while, and I just couldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just going to take it out and say what I have to say about it. Skip it. Now let's discuss a good Hugh Grant movie.
That?
About a Boy, directed by Chris and Paul Wentz, starring Hugh Grant, Nicholas Hoult, Tony Collette, who I love, and everything, Madison Cook, Sharon Small, and Peter McNichol. Did you see this, Bob?
I did.
And?
It was okay.
It was okay.
I didn't hate it, but I
could you not relate to it?
I couldn't. It took me a while.
This is your life, Bob.
It's not my life.
This is what, you're not Hugh Grant, you're the Tony Collette character without a kid.
I'm the Tony Collette character.
Well, you're kind of a misfit. You're doing your own thing. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're following weird causes, like being a fan of bad music. No? Am I off base here?
You're way off base. You're about as far off third base as you could be.
So tell me why you didn't like it, Bob. Break it down for me.
I don't know. It took me a while to get into it.
Well, it's a slow burn.
It's slow.
But I think it needs to be slow to tell its story. If it goes quickly, like most comedies do, like, you know what I mean? This movie wouldn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it needs to move slow to build the relationship between Hugh Grant and Nicholas, the boy.
That part I got. I just.
Because Tony
Hugh Grant. I'm not a big fan of Hugh Grant, I don't think.
I don't think anybody's a big Hugh Grant fan. I think he's a very serviceable actor in the right roles.
Right.
Like, when you get him in, did you hear about the Morgans? You need strong comedic leads to pull that off. And the problem is, your best two leads, Mary Steenburgen and Sam Elliott, are probably your best two leads there, are the supporting people. And they're actually good.
Yeah.
But your two leads are so flat. And that's why you have Toni Collette in this film, because she helps Hugh Grant out. Because she's very quirky and very chameleon-like into different people, I find, in her film.
Yeah, I like her.
And she saves this film.
She's really good.
Right. But I think she saves this film because Hugh Grant is very dull.
I think it's a solid cast all around. I think if the kid didn't work,
you're screwed.
Then the movie would be dead.
Because this movie is the kid. It's about a boy.
It's about his innocence, his naivety,
yes.
and he wins over. You know, there's no connection between Toni Collette and Hugh Grant at all.
No.
Probably despise one another in real life.
They do.
But because the boy needs something, he needs a role model. He doesn't need a crazy vegan, shaved head
mom
who can't figure out what to do with her life. He cries all the time. He's depressed.
Well, he discusses that. He can't handle it.
Right. He's cracking up. I thought this, I love this movie.
I really enjoyed it.
It's a favorite of mine. And it's one, the reason why it's on here is because I recently bought it on Blu-ray and upgraded my thing.
And yeah, I've never seen it. You're like, oh, well, here, you got to watch this.
You've got to check this movie out because, first off, it's Chris and Paul Weitz are the guys that did American Pie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Wheat's Brothers.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they went from that to this, and it's a great book.
Oh, it's a book.
Nick Hornsby.
Oh, well, there she is again, Karen. Right? Too busy buying dildos.
And
can't
the whole
again here.
Book is written from the perspective of the Hugh Grant character. It's all about his top five lists.
Oh, really?
No, sorry, that's another movie, that top five list. But this one, he's a guy, he's remote, he's disconnected, he lives through technology, he's like about any bachelor. He lives through popular culture.
And I think he's an Uber bachelor because he made all that money off that song. So he doesn't even have to go to work.
He doesn't have to work.
So he really lives in a cave.
He does.
And he tells you he does. He goes, dates these women, and then after a while it's going to end. And he knows it's going to end. And he tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
That it's finally going to be over. And he's okay with that. And then he'll just start over again.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a funny premise when he heard you could meet single women at the single women's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
safe or whatever. I thought
single
it was kind of neat.
Alive, living together.
But I think this movie comes great at the end. It comes really together right at the end.
Making up the baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful film.
And then, I think, again, the kid just, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good film.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
And so how about the next one, the Shorty, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Men in Black.
Directed by a customer.
Damn customers buying things. What are they thinking of it for?
Right, so the next movie is Get Shorty, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. It stars John Travolta, Gene Hackman, Rene Russo, Danny DeVito, Delroy Lindo, Dan Scarino, James Gandolfini. Okay, so we're back. So I introduced Get Shorty. What did you think, Bob?
He didn't see this film, I hate to tell you, so you could ask Bob.
He didn't see it?
No, he didn't. It's just
me. What was your excuse?
Too busy watching Rock of Ages.
And for the 10th
time.
Or Mamma Mia,
God.
Or Footloose.
Have they added you to the credits of Mamma Mia? Saying the most watched by. You want to go with Get Shorty then, Kev? Or you want me to take it?
Yeah, what did you think of it?
I love this film. I think it was I saw it a long time ago. I apologize. I didn't rewatch it for this, but I did. I think it's fun. I just had a great time watching it. I thought the chemistry was really good. Danny DeVito was excellent. I love Delroy Lindo and Ben Trina. I just thought it was a great cast.
I really saw this as being sort of the second coming of John Travolta.
I did.
This in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought the performances were fantastic. Gandolfini was like. It's based on an Elmore Leonard book.
It is.
So there's like a casual approach that the character that Travolta has in his PI services. So he's decided he's a loan collector or something.
He is, you're right.
So he wants to get into Hollywood and write a movie.
That's right.
I enjoyed it. It was quite good.
Yeah, I have to agree with everything you said. I mean, James Gandolfini is kind of skinny in this, so it's kind of weird seeing him in this.
And yeah, he had a beard.
He did.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I think it's a better film than its sequel.
Oh, yeah, dude. There was a sequel, Be Cool, which I'm trying to do the same thing
It's Be Cool,
to,
right?
To music, as Get Shorty was called.
Yeah, it doesn't work in my world.
That's just a second.
Hold on.
Right, so anyway, Be Cool, directed by F. Gary Gray, stars Travolta, Uma Thurman, Vince Vaughn, Dwayne Johnson, Cedric the Entertainer, Andre Benjamin, Steve Tyler, Robert Pistorelli, Christian, Christina Milian, Debbie Mazar, it just keeps going, Harvey Keitel, Danny DeVito, James Woods, Gene Simmons, Wycliffe Jean, Fred Durst, Joe Perry, Anna Nicole Smith. It's, It's pretty crazy. It's like they tried to fit too many people in this movie.
Well, the movie doesn't work, though. I think that's the major problem. Is the cast is too big, and they tried to do too much in the film. That's why I like Get Shorty. It was very concise, and it all worked off each other.
Yeah.
And it was funny. This one's just dull and boring. The Rock is horrible.
They tried too hard.
Yeah, they tried to push it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. It's missing the chemistry I found the first one was.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
Wow, yes. Kevin agrees with me. When did that happen?
I didn't like this movie, to be honest. I really wanted to.
I think we all did, because we all came off the Get Shorty train. Well, that movie was fine, fantastic, something different to watch, refreshing, I guess, is what I'm trying to look for.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't recommend it, then?
I can't. It's just unwatchable, I think, for the most part.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist.
You know, like, Get Shorty had something to it. There was a groove to it.
Yeah, it was like watching...
The music was great.
If they do a sequel to High Fidelity, I wouldn't want to see that either. Because High Fidelity
was great in that too.
Yeah, like High Fidelity is such a nice film.
Isn't that in our next episode?
No, it's not.
No.
Well, if it is, we can discuss. I know that film off by heart.
It should have actually been in this one.
It should have been. We can do it now.
I love High Fidelity.
You
want to
do High Fidelity?
Again. Sure.
Starring John Cusack, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Jack Black.
Yeah.
I can't remember the other guy who works in the store.
I don't either, actually. Have you seen either of these movies, Be Cool or... You've never seen High Fidelity?
No, he's never... I don't know. Was High Fidelity a hit when it came out? I think
it was
very...
It was a big hit at the time.
Because you made me watch it. I remember you told me, this is my life, you told me.
Yes.
It was at the time.
Now it's my life.
Now it's your life. Look at how times have changed,
yeah,
Dad.
So High Fidelity was you working for Peter Dixon.
It was.
At Paradise Comics.
It was. With Doug DeFlore.
You were Jack Black.
I was definitely Jack Black.
And Doug was the Mosi guy. And now... I have my own. I'm now the John Cusack guy.
You are, and you have your own stuff.
And I have Joe Phil Martin is my Jack Black.
Yes.
And Kellum is my other guy.
He is.
So and Debbie, I guess, is my girlfriend who's going to go sleep with a hippie or something. I got to be worried about that.
I think this High Fidelity is a great film. He's trying to find himself, but everybody he meets adds something to the film.
Well, it's written by Nick Hornsby as well, who wrote.
Oh, see, there we go. We should just punch
in
something.
A lot of stuff ties in this episode. I love this movie. I just, everything about it, from its focus on rock music, to me, there's a lot of similarities between rock music culture or music stores and so forth and comic stores.
Absolutely.
That kind of that culture of obsessing over minor points.
But I would say you're a very obsessive person in comics and in music. You're one of the two people I know that blends the two together. You're very obsessive about both cultures.
Okay.
Like, you wouldn't say I'm obsessed about music in any way.
No, not really.
Like, I couldn't care less what you play. If I don't like it, I just won't listen to it. But you will be like, no, it's very similar to this. You find threads that I can't find.
Yeah.
But I just don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm very, in comics, I'm not so obsessive anymore. You know, I've kind of just been too busy with my life and my kids and just sort of gone on my own way. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm shocked.
No, it's just a time thing, you know. I'd rather watch movies and do Twitter and just do social media. I just don't have the time. Like, it's either movies or comics. That was really my choice.
Right.
And I decided that podcasting was much more fun than doing comic podcasts because there were so many comic podcasts. There was no point.
Yeah.
There's not that many movie podcasts because most of them only do one film.
Okay.
And I said, I don't want to do that. I watch more than one film, and I like to discuss with my buddies.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit for an hour and discuss Ghost Rider with you guys. Who fucking cares? Nobody wants to hear that shit.
No.
I'd rather sit here in the middle of the episode and go, screw it, let's discuss High Fidelity right now, because I like that film.
I love that film. I mean, to me, About a Boy and High Fidelity.
Yeah, I think it's a great double feature. You should go see it. Okay, finally.
Directed by Stephen Frears.
Last movie on the list.
Midnight is... No, we have more after this.
Do we really?
Yes.
It's going to be a long episode with that big break.
Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, directed by Clint Eastwood, stars Kevin Spacey, John Cusack, Jude Law, Allison Eastwood, Jennifer P. Hall, Jack Thompson, Kim Hunter, Jeffrey Lewis, Bob Gunton, and Joanne Plouffe. Now, this was a big hit book at the time.
It was huge at the time. And I remember the book being out and being on the bestseller list.
The movie does nothing for me.
Like, everybody, I've asked numerous people, because I didn't quite know if everybody got the same thing. Everyone told me this movie sucks.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me, because I watched it in theaters and hated it.
Clint usually does good movies.
See, I have to disagree with that.
Really?
I don't like any of Clint Eastwood's movies, except for Gran Torino, which is one I really enjoyed lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you love?
Gran Torino.
Yeah. Let me just even. Did you find this movie slow? It never seems to get off the ground.
I found the first 20 minutes slow, right? And it picked up after that, sort of. But like, it took me about 3 tries to watch it.
Okay, I did find a mistake in the movie.
What's that?
John Cusack is at the stoplight talking to the transvestite. He drives through a red light.
Okay.
And I'm watching it, I'm like, that light's not right. And I watched him, I rewound it, and it's a red light, and he drives right through it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I must shut that a few times. And I mean, it's so minor, but it was funny to me, because I don't think I would have noticed years ago. Mm. But now, because I was so bored watching this for the second time, I'm like, that's not right. That's a red light he just drove through.
Yeah, this movie...
And then you get to the end, and Kevin Spacey dies. I'm like, I couldn't care less. I'm like, I have no interest in any of the characters. I don't like Cusack. I don't like Jude Law. Eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a point to this at all, Kevin? Did you like this at any time?
No, I didn't care for it that much.
That sucks, Bob.
I think I liked the second half, but it took me a while to get there. So, but I wouldn't recommend watching it, like renting it, buying it. I wouldn't recommend it.
I think it came onto my radar because we went to Atlanta for a wedding.
Really? I've never been to Atlanta.
And even though it's set in New Orleans, something about it was near the resort that we were at.
Right.
And they discussed it a lot.
Okay. Well, speaking of Bob's sex life, Never Been Kissed.
Never Been Kissed, directed by Raja Gosnell. Stars Drew Barrymore, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Lini Sobieski, David Arquette, Michael Barton, Octavia Spencer, Gary Marshall, Jordan Ladd, Jessica Alba, Marley Shelton, and James Franco. Now, that's quite a cast.
It is.
If I recall, this is Drew Barrymore going back to high school.
Yes, to do a story.
To do a story. An overdone premise.
Absolutely. And this one, I think, fails just as miserably as most of them.
No, I don't think so. You can't relate to it, that's why.
I don't need to relate to it. It's awful. Like, she is such a bad actress, Drew Barrymore. I don't know how she continues to have any bit of a career.
Yeah.
She's horrible. Absolutely awful. Molly Shannon's decent. John C. Reilly's decent. But, I mean, Jessica Alba's in it for, what, 10 minutes as one of the...
She's one of the precursors.
And I don't care. At any moment of this film, I'm never like, this is kind of interesting. I'm like...
Because, again, you couldn't relate to the character.
Do I need... Why would I want to relate to this character? This character is boring, has no life.
And yet you're friends with me.
But you have more of a life than she does.
At the time, when she was in high school, I could relate to this character because she was, like, the nerd or whatever, and she, like...
Well, we'll talk to Kevin. Kevin, because you were this in an all-boys high school, so I mean, you had a totally different experience than she did.
No, I was at an all-boys school.
Did you relate to this character? Bob, tell me I don't like this movie because I don't relate. Do you relate?
No, I didn't really relate to this character.
Yeah, nobody relates to this character because this character is bullshit. Doesn't exist.
She's attractive. There was no reason.
She's not attractive.
When she went back to high school, her hair, like, when she, they showed her thinking back to when she was in high school, and she got...
Yeah.
She got this and whatever else. Like, I could relate to this character.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I find that, you know, hard to believe that you would relate to this character.
Not that hard.
I knew
what it was like to get what happened to her. I know what it was like.
So when did you get out of this film? Like, so you're saying
it was just a fun film that she got the guy, and like at the end. She said, okay, she's going to stand there for 5 minutes. And the guy actually shows up.
Or shouldn't he have showed up? He's into her.
Yeah. But she didn't, like, she thought he stopped liking her because of what she did. Like, she pretended to be a high school student.
He should have.
He was mad at her at first, but then he realized, I like this girl.
But no, that's a movie premise. That doesn't happen in real life.
No.
Does it? Like, have you ever heard of the situation that somebody went back to high school and found true love, really? Doesn't exist.
Okay. I guess not. But I still like the movie.
It wasn't, but it was badly written. It was funny.
It was an escape. That's what it was. That's what most movies are. They're an escape.
I couldn't escape. That was my problem. I tried to escape during this film. It was just impossible.
That's an escape.
I wanted to. Like, there's my issue. I wanted to turn this off.
Yeah.
So I don't see what you're getting out of it.
I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I actually own the thing.
Okay.
Twice.
You bought it on DVD and VHS?
Yes.
Lovely.
Uh-huh.
So it's now time for a new segment, Kevin. Do you remember what it is? That's the one. Dr. No.
Five episodes of Bond.
No, we don't do that many because we've done Casino Royale. Oh, we've done the last two. There's been two credits or three?
Two. We've done the third one coming up, right?
Yeah, so we've done two. So Kevin was asking me. We're doing all of them. We're going to try to do two or one or two in every episode now until we get to the new one. That should get us cleaned out.
Well, the first one, of course, is Dr. No.
It is.
Directed by Terrence Young. Stars Sean Connery, Ursula Andress, Jack Lord, Bernard Lee, Lois Maxwell, Joseph Wiseman, Anthony Dawson. How did you see Dr. No?
Years ago, but I remember it, sort of.
I think I've seen this about 10 times. And I rewatched it again just for you.
No, we watch it all from a different perspective because we know who James Bond is.
Yes, we do.
I wonder what it would have been like to be in 1961.
I think it would have been kind of cool.
I seen this for the first time in Tampa.
And have no way. But you know what? It would have been fun. I don't think there was any other agent movies out around then.
No, there was secret agent stuff, but nothing like James Bond.
No, nothing like Bond.
I mean, Bond was such a unique character, and the novels were very popular.
Yes. I know, I'm with you. I think people would have loved this film back then, and I think they did. Audience flocked to it.
Oh, yeah. Huge hit. And it's the proto-Bond. This is the one.
It's not then.
It's not quite.
No, it's not there.
It's not
yet.
Quite Goldfinger.
No.
This is still, you know, figuring out what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it works. I mean, it's a great movie.
I think it's an okay movie.
I'm very entertained by this. It's not as great as some of the later ones, and it's certainly not in my top 10 Bond films.
Okay, good. So those were on the same lines. I find this movie lacks action. And that's really my biggest problem.
A lot of talking,
a lot of setting up, and very cheaply done. You can tell when they're on a set. You can tell this. I'm like, wow, they had no money for this film. You can tell they just sort of did a shoestring budget for it.
Then, well, I mean, they spent money on certain things. They certainly didn't travel.
They went to Jamaica.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell they did go, but...
Yeah. Good chunk of it is set in Jamaica.
Yeah, I agree. I just had problems with it. I found it too slow. I think that was my major problem. And Dr. No is not really a good villain. I didn't think. I had a lot of issues with him as a villain.
No, not really. I mean, but he's the first of the megalomaniacs with the secret headquarters and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I like how you can go through a radiation suit and I'm done with him. Just a little bath. Yeah. But, I mean, half the time I'm focusing on Ursula Andress the whole time. Wow, she is just smoking hot.
Yeah.
But no, I felt bad for Connery's buddy, Bond's buddy, the black guy that sort of gets burned up.
What's his name? It's a Q name, right?
Yeah, that's it. And did you notice when Bond punches him through the boxes, they have red stripe boxes behind them, beer box, and nothing happens to the bombs. You don't hear anything breaking. You can tell they're fake boxes. I'm like, guys, come on. It's a little more realistic here. It's just stuff like that bugged me.
Yeah.
And then all those people in the same suits. I'm like, is it AIM? It looks like AIM from Marvel Comics. I thought I finally found AIM. I was like, oh, there they are.
Well, that's where Kirby would have gotten the design.
I think so. I totally think he stole it from this movie.
Actually, Steranko did because it was AIM demuted Nick Fury, right?
Yeah, he totally stole this from Bond.
And Bond played such a huge effect on Steranko's.
Oh, absolutely he did. You can see it in all his work. And Jack Lord's weird in this because I'm so used to the old Felix Leiter. In this one, I'm like, wow, it's Jack Lord. What the hell is he doing in this?
Hawaii
5-0
Jack Lord,
yeah. Pretty Hawaii 5-0. And Lois Maxwell, I love Millie Penny. I think she's a great supporting actress in this film, in all of them.
Right.
And I love Bernard Lee.
It was good.
I always liked M. So I think they did a good casting job on that. I think that's why it works so well.
I don't think they've ever been able to effectively replace him.
Judy Dench has a good job, though, I think.
She does okay. Yeah.
But she's not Bernard Lee. I'll have to agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you like to move on to our next Bond film?
All right.
Which is not on the list for some reason? Yeah, because I did from Russia with Love. I did watch both for this episode.
This is one of my favorite Bond films. And I love From Russia with Love.
It's a better film than Dr. No was.
Robert Shaw plays a great villain.
Yes.
On the train.
Yes.
And it's basically, you know, like Bond's reputation precedes him.
Yeah.
Right? So Reddy uses his libido against him.
Yes.
And get him, take him out of the equation. And the first of the Spectre films, really. Although Dr. No was a Spectre agent, they later implicated him.
Well, he's... Okay, I got a question for you. I'm watching this, and the guy is the cat with Blofeld, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, number three. He keeps calling the girl number three, the woman. Who's number two?
Number two is the guy from Heart to Heart and the Austin Powers movie.
But in this movie, who's two?
I don't think they reveal who two is.
They don't. So the Blofeld's one now. Because was before Dr. No one?
Number two was revealed in Thunderball.
Okay, so don't tell me. I can't remember. Okay, so that's what number two is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm watching this film. I thought it had some great action scenes.
Uh-huh.
But I also had some issues. I thought the Hungarian guy wasn't the greatest. The guy that turned Hungarian secret police.
Oh, the guy that was the chess champion?
No, I like him. He was excellent. The other guy.
Okay.
The guy in charge of the Hungarian guys, the good guys.
Okay.
The Russians were the Czechs.
Oh, right. The guy when he went to Turkey.
Yes.
And the guy that...
Oh, Turkey, yes.
Karen May.
I didn't think he was that good an actor. I had some issues with him.
Oh, he was a great guy. He died making the film.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very well-known international actor. And right around while they were filming, they did the scenes, and then he just died.
Weird.
Yeah. His son actually plays in the later John Bond film.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is your favorite. What, is it because of the fighting? See, I love the Russian girls. Beautiful.
It's not my favorite, but it's one of
them. I like when they break into the Russian consulate. I thought that was a great scene.
It's the best Bond spy movie.
Okay.
Because Goldfinger is something else.
Yes.
And we'll I'll agree to that. The next one, but this one was a great spy thriller.
Okay.
Going across Europe, the train stuff.
No, it's all good.
Dealing with passports and decoders and... To me, it was a great spy thriller, and you know, there's a reason why it was on President Kennedy's nightstand for a long time. It's one of his favorite books.
I have a question. Have you read these books, Kevin?
Yes, I've read them all.
Are they anything like the movies?
The movies take liberties in almost all of them, but the earlier ones are much more like the books than the
Did Fleming see these movies?
Oh, yeah.
Fleming. And what did he think?
Well, he was very happy with them.
Okay, I don't know, because I've never read anything.
So Fleming was involved in the first two, I believe, and then
okay.
He died.
Okay, because I know he died before I had a chance to really get to know
him. He definitely saw Dr. No, and I'm pretty sure he saw From Russia to Love.
Okay. Is that it on Bond on these, Cap? Nothing else to add? No deep thoughts?
Bob, you have nothing to add?
No periscope in the store here? Like, somebody checking you out?
No.
Like, how do you get a periscope in the Russian consulate? I'm still trying to figure out.
I don't
know.
I want to do that.
Just what's going on here?
And this is solved.
Okay, well, that's it. If they make it, we'll review it. I'm Simon.
I'm Bob Kevin. Intern.
Are you eating Bob the intern during the show again?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, goodbye from the Comic Lounge, who's sponsored this episode. And everybody that's in Toronto or even Europe or Australia.
Come on in.
England, come in. Say hi to Kev.
Just don't come in while we're recording.
Yeah.
That means we have to stop.
It's been a little busy today with people coming in and stop recording. So have a great day.
All
bye.
Right.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.